celebrating Zach and Angela's presence here with us after the service. Hopefully you all know that we're going to have a little potluck lunch over here. Typically on the first Sunday of the month we go to Rico's, but Rico's is going to come to us instead. We've got sandwiches ordered. They're going to be here. I see people have brought things, salads, some desserts. I know I brought vanilla ice cream and root beer because Zach said he liked pop. He did. He likes pop, and I like root beer floats. So I like Zach, and I like root beer floats. So we're going to do both of those things. How about that? Okay, so please stay. If you're just finding out about this, if this is new information to you, you're more than welcome. Please stay. After the service, we'll eat and celebrate together. Okay? A couple other announcements before we turn our attention to God's Word, and that is that there's another picnic coming up, not right after the service, but later this month, August 20. It's a Wednesday, the Monroe North Business Association picnic. We at Monroe have helped out and assisted with that a number of different ways. In the email announcements that go out on Thursdays, there's a link. Some of you said, I would like to help out. I would like to sign up. I would like to serve. Please click on that link and fill out the form and let us know how it is that you would like to help out. So if you're not getting the announcements on Thursdays, you got to email info@Monroe and say, add me to that list. But you can find that information there. Okay. And then another thing is that we are currently searching for a youth leader for our middle school youth group. The growth team and the MN team are working on getting the word out. We've got a bunch of middle school boys and a girl that comes right now, but that may change. You never know what happens in the fall with a new school year, a new ministry year, but we're looking for names of people to serve in that way. It's a part-time pay position at Monroe, so if you know of people, please let me know. Or, send that info. We got it posted on our website. But we're looking for a middle school youth leader, grades 6 through 8. Amy and I, when we were in college and seminary, we served at LaGrave Church in that ministry, ETs. See somebody else here. Early teens, we call them. Not extraterrestrials, but early teens. Sometimes you wonder. You do. You just sometimes you wonder. But a lot happens between 6th grade and 8th grade. Some of us don't want to remember all that happens, but a lot happens. Girls can't comb their hair. Boys don't know what a bar of soap is in 6th grade. 8th grade, girls are doing their hair. They're all looking great. Boys reek in another way because they got too much cologne on. So a lot happens, right? Physically, socially, emotionally, and a lot happens spiritually. Right? Those are key times on our journey of faith. So we're looking for someone to work with that group. Okay? So please let me know if you know of anybody who's interested, or maybe you're interested. Okay? We're going to turn our attention to God's Word. There's Bibles back there on the table. I invite you to get up and get one right now if you need that. For those of you who are visiting Monroe for the first time or haven't been here since the beginning of the year, we are using Seeking God's Face. We're using this book kind of as a guide, a daily guide for us. Seeking God's Face contains scripture readings and prayers for each and every day. And it follows the church calendar year, the seasons of the church year. And right now we are in the season of ordinary time or growing time, the time when we allow the truths of God to shape us, inform us, and grow us as His disciples. We've also been using this to kind of guide our gatherings, what we reflect on here on Sunday mornings too. The readings, the Bible readings for this week are going to be from the book of Genesis. And we're going to be looking at Genesis chapter 2 this morning. It's actually the reading for tomorrow in Seeking God's Face. But we're going to look at Genesis chapter 2. So as we prepare to do that, pray with me. Father in heaven, we're to the time in our gathering when we turn our attention to Your Word. And Your Word is living and it's active. Your Word has power. Power to change, power to instruct, power to encourage, to comfort, to challenge. So as we open up our hearts, as we open up your word, speak to us. We give this time to you. Dwell in our midst. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're going to be focusing on the first three verses of chapter 2, but I'm going to read a few verses of Genesis chapter 1 at the end of the, starting at verse 26 to give a little context. This is the creation story. Creation story in the book of Genesis. Part of it, I should say. So beginning at verse 26, then God said, let us make human beings in our own image, in our own likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number and fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds of the air and every living creature that moves along the ground. Then God said, I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They will be yours for food. And to all the beasts of the earth and all the birds in the sky and to all the creatures that move on the ground, everything that has the breath of life in it, I give every green plant for food. And it was so. God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. Then God blessed the seventh day, and he made it holy. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. Then God blessed the seventh day, and he made it holy. So people of God, it's August 3 today. We're already two-thirds of our way through the summer vacation season. Can you believe it? Right? It's going fast. Don't we wish February would go that fast? No, nope, June and July, they go super fast, right? February is around for 28 long days. For some reason, during the past few weeks, statistics about vacations have been crossing my path. They have crossed my path through articles that I've read, and also through conversations that I've had with different people. And I want to share some of these with you this morning. Take a look at the screen here a minute. Just read some of the statistics that have come across my path. Here's three of them. All right, here's three more. Here's a few more in a picture format. Now tell me, what do these statistics say to you? These are true, which I don't have any reason to really believe that they'd be made up. Right? What do these statistics say to you? What are they saying to you as you sit here and reflect on them this morning? Anything? We don't let ourselves relax, okay? Anybody else? Reactions. What? How did it hit you? How do they hit you? we don't know how to rest. Anybody else? Our focus is on our money and our careers, on ourselves. Okay? Say that again. We're guilty. Maybe we feel guilty if we're not productive. Okay? Ditto. How about that? Bingo. We feel guilty if we're not doing something or if we're not being productive in some way. Okay? Anybody else? Our society encourages that. Okay? I think what hit you hit me this past week. One of the things that I heard and that I learned as I reflected on these statistics. There it is. How about that? As I heard and as I listened to them, as I reflected on them during these past few weeks, and began reflecting on them specifically in this week in light of this text for this morning, this relationship between work and rest in our society, is that there's something within our culture, there's something within us that is making it difficult for us to embrace the good news that's in our text for today. One of the things that I hear from these statistics is that there are a lot of people that are living against a rhythm, a creation rhythm, a rhythm established by God when He created the world in which you and I live. A rhythm that involves breaks, time off, pause, and rest. It's a God-given rhythm that allows you and me the opportunity to remember that God is God, and that we're not. It's a rhythm that allows us to remember that He is our Creator, that He is our Sustainer, and that we are not. That one especially, 429 million, the number of vacation days that Americans had, but they didn't take. That's a lot of vacation days. Right? That's a lot of vacation days. In our text for today, in Genesis 2, we read that at the end of the creation account, that thus the heavens and the earth were completed. They were completed in their vast array. By the seventh day, God had finished the work that He had been doing. So on the seventh day, He rested from all His work. Then God blessed the seventh day and He made it holy, because on it He rested from all the work of creating that He had done. When we reflect on these verses, what do we learn about God? What do we learn about ourselves? What do we learn about the creation in which you and I live? This morning I would like just to simply look at two things that the Sabbath, the seventh day, discloses for us. Walter Brueggemann, in his commentary on these verses, notes for us that they tell us something about our God. In Genesis 2, verse 2, we read that by the seventh day, God had finished. He'd finished the work He had been doing. And on that seventh day, He rested from all His work. In this verse, we learn that the creative work that God had been doing in the previous 6 days was now finished. It was complete. So on the seventh day, God rested from that work. Now when you hear that word rested, what images or pictures come to your mind? When you hear the word rest, to rest, what picture comes to your mind? Something like this? Or this? often when I hear the word to rest, I think of sleeping. I think of lying down, sawing some logs, sleeping. But on the seventh day, did God rest because he was tired, because he was sleepy, because he was exhausted? Is that what God was doing when he was resting on that seventh day? For those of you who are familiar with the Psalms, right, what does the psalmist tell you? That our Lord neither slumbered nor sleeps. Right? While rest can and does involve sleep, it also involves more than this. John Walton, professor of Old Testament at Wheaton College, in his commentary on this creation story in these verses, reminds us that the rest that is used here to describe God does not imply relaxation, but more like achieving equilibrium and stability. It's kind of like bringing order out of chaos. Things are the way they should be, so it's stable, it's peaceful, it's restful. In the ancient Near East, one of the major objectives of the gods, as they became involved in their creativity, was to create a resting place for themselves somewhere. They were constantly seeking places of rest. In the ancient Near East, as in the Bible, temples are for divine rest. And divine rest is found in sanctuaries or sacred places. Rest becomes a place where you dwell. On the seventh day, we discovered that God had been working to achieve rest. God not only sets up the cosmos so that people will have a place, he also sets up the world and the creation so that he has a place to rest and to serve as his temple, the place where he will dwell. On the seventh day, the Lord rested. He dwelled in that place. He's here now, standing in our midst. This is his dwelling place. Listen to Psalm 132. For the Lord has chosen Zion. He has desired it for his dwelling, saying, "This is my resting place forever and ever. Here I will sit enthroned. For I have desired it. I will bless her with abundant provisions. Her poor I will satisfy with food. I will clothe her priests with salvation, and her faithful people will ever sing for joy." This is my resting place, he says, forever and ever. This is where I want to be. This is where I want to sit enthroned. This is where I want to dwell among you. The first thing that we learn from these verses is that God rests, that he dwells within his creation. The second thing we learn from these verses has to do with God's relationship with us. The second thing we learn is that the Sabbath, this day of rest, is God's gift to you and to me. The Sabbath is a blessing given to you and to me. What do we read in verse 3 of Genesis 2? Then God, what did he do? He blessed that day. He blessed the seventh day, and he made it holy. He set it apart for a specific purpose and a specific reason to be a blessing to us. In God's created order, God built in a rhythm of work and rest. Work and rest. Work and rest. A rhythm of blessing. 6 days we are to labor and work, but the seventh is a Sabbath to the Lord our God. Every seventh day, we're invited to cease. To cease from our grasping for more. From our striving to get ahead. The comment, to produce something. We're invited to cease from that. And instead, we're called upon to and invited to rest. All of us. All of us, young and old, black and white, male and female, tall and short, rich people and poor people, upper management and middle management and no management. All of us. The whole creation. Right? Everything that God has made is invited to rest and to dwell. And remember here, rest doesn't simply mean sleeping. Sleeping is part of our daily rhythm. God created light day and night, day and night. Not supposed to stay awake all those 6 days and then crash and burn on the seventh, right? There's a daily rhythm for that. We're called to rest in His presence, to dwell with Him as He dwells with us. We're invited to rest in His presence, right? The presence of God. Just trying to think of, how do you picture this? How do you picture this type of rest? Yeah, right there. And this is what I wanted, is one of those chairs that hangs from a rope. Right? Kia sells these chairs. We're looking at getting one for our tree in the backyard. You hang it from a tree and you kind of sit in it, and it's kind of got a basket, and you're resting. You're dwelling in the presence. You're not doing anything. You're just resting there. You're not feeling guilty. Right? You're not producing something. You're not working on your image or your resume or your bank account or your investment portfolio or your to-do list. You're just dwelling. You're dwelling in the presence of your Creator God. You're dwelling in the presence of the God who sustains all things that He's created. You're dwelling in the presence of your Redeemer, the one who came to save you from your sins. You're chilling. One day each week, God established a rhythm for us to rest and to dwell. To remember that He's in charge. That He's in control. That He's our Creator. He's our Sustainer and He's our Redeemer. What did Jesus say to us in Mark 2, verse 27? What did He say to the Pharisees and to His disciples who were always bickering about what is the Sabbath all about? What do you got to do? What do I got to do? He said it was made for you. Not you for it. It was a gift for you. It's a gift to you. This day was made for you. It was meant to serve you and to bless you and to be a gift to you. A gift to dwell. Professor John Walton says it's the Sabbath is given to us. It's an opportunity to then give honor that is due to our Creator God. One day a week, we give honor back. We take a break and we look around at all that He's made, at all He's doing, and we give honor and we give praise back again. We dwell with Him. Sabbath is a way for us to acknowledge that He is on the throne, that He's dwelling. He's there and we're not. It's a way to remember that this world is His and that the time that He gives us is His. Sabbath is a way for us to be able to see the big picture. Sabbath allows us to see the big picture because we step away from us and what's on our lists and what we have to do. Sabbath's not about me. It's not about my family. It's not about my job. It's not about my country. All these things. No, It's about the big picture. And what's the big picture about? The big picture is about God. What He's doing. And honoring Him. So then the question is, if it's about honoring Him, if it's about dwelling in His presence, the question that you and I have to answer is, well then, how do we do that? How do we honor Him? How do we give honor that's due our Creator and our Sustainer and our Redeeming God? And the details for this are going to vary from person to person here. Because you and I, we honor things differently, don't we? We honor things in different ways. But one of the things that's common to all of us, one of the things that we all must do to honor God is stop. We all need to stop what we're doing. We must stop the focus from being on us for a while and then turn our attention and our focus to Him. We have to pause. In order to honor someone or something else, you have to stop honoring and just caring about what's going on here. In order to acknowledge and honor someone or something else, we must stop what we're doing to make space for either it or for them. Some of us are married here, or we're in a relationship, a dating relationship. How do you honor your spouse? What do you do? How do we honor one another? Some of you are smiling and maybe chuckling a little bit, right? You're looking next door, right? How do we honor? What do we do? Sometimes we do with words, don't we? We tell them, I love you. I care about you. You're important to me. Thank you for being part of my life. Thank you for what you do, for how you serve me, how you make me a better person. For loving me and forgiving me when I mess up. Right? We talk. We honor people with our words. We honor them with our time, don't we? Those of us who have friends, how do we honor our friends? We call them up and say, hey, would you like to get together? I'd like to spend some time with you. Some of us have kids. How do we honor our kids? How do we honor our children? How do we honor our God? By doing the same things. By talking to Him. By making time for Him. By spending time in prayer. By listening. Allowing Him to speak to us through His Word and through His Spirit. I have a neighbor who lives next door. His wife's in assisted living. And he and his sons have taught me a lot about honor. How do they honor their spouse? How do they honor their mother who is aging and getting older and who needs lots of help and care? Like clockwork, I look out my window and off he goes at 9:30 in the morning and he goes and he spends time with them. Spends time with her. And their four sons had this whole schedule, a way to honor and be with their mother. One of them is always there, every day of the week. Talking with her, being with her, feeding her, bathing her, pushing her around in the wheelchair, helping her walk as she is able. They stop what they're doing, and they make time for her. That picture has helped me understand what Sabbath is about. I stop what I'm doing and I make time for God. I give Him some attention. I shift the focus from here to there. People of God, at the beginning of this message, we talked about millions of people in our culture who have a difficult time stopping. And we have a difficult time stopping what we're doing to simply take a vacation, right? To go to Mackinac Island. We have a hard time doing that. We have a hard time taking a break from our work in order to simply just do something else. Catch a Whitecaps game. Something about the culture in which you and I live makes it difficult for us to stop working, to stop focusing on ourselves from doing only what pleases us. But in our text for today, we're reminded how God created the heavens and the earth. We're reminded that in His creation, God established order out of chaos. We're reminded that in the midst of this order, God establishes a rhythm. And it's a rhythm that's designed for you and for me. It's a rhythm that's not designed to punish or to detract or to be a burden or to be a curse, but rather to be a blessing, right? And to serve us, and to serve us well. It's His gift. It's His gift to us. Work and rest. Work and rest. Work and dwell. Work and dwell. So I'd like to end this morning with God's word to us through the prophet Isaiah. In Isaiah 58, the Lord reminds us that if we honor this invitation that He gives to us, this invitation of Sabbath, if we honor this rhythm of creation, and we cultivate it, right? We allow it to grow. That's the question we've been asking ourselves during this growing season. How do we cultivate what God is growing in us? If we cultivate this, God promises that we will receive a blessing. We're going to receive a blessing in our lives that's far and greater than anything that we could earn or that we could buy or that we could own through all that other achievement, all that other time and worry and work. Listen to what God says in Isaiah 58. He says, "If you keep your feet from breaking the Sabbath and from doing as you please on my holy day," doing as you please, that phrase spoke to me this week. "If you call the Sabbath a delight," how about that for an adjective for the Sabbath? Hey, the delight. Not, "Oh, here it comes again," right? No, this is a delight. "If you keep from doing as you please on my holy day, and if you call the Sabbath a delight, and the Lord's day, His holy day, honorable, and if you honor it by not going your own way, and not doing as you please, or speaking idle words," then He says this, "you're going to find joy. You're going to find joy in the Lord as you dwell with Him." And He says, "I will cause you to ride in triumph on the heights of the land. I'm going to lift you up," He says. "I'm going to cause you to feast on the inheritance of your father Jacob, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken." He says, if you do this, if you honor this, you're going to find joy. You're going to find delight. He's going to lift you up as you dwell with Him. Pray with me this morning. The prayer I'm going to pray is based on a prayer that I found that was written by Rob Mell. Lord, you would think that this invitation to Sabbath rest would be one of the easiest. It would be one of the easiest ones for us to receive and obey. Lord, you would think that this invitation to rest would be one of the easiest to receive and obey. Yet so often we find it the most difficult. You invite us to rest because we desperately need to. Forgive us. Forgive us for our striving, for our worrying, for our manipulating and our scheming as though everything were dependent upon us. Like we're in charge. Like we're on the throne. Lord, sin is really hard work. Taking things into our own hands has wearied us probably more than we can say. So today, on this Sabbath day, on this day that's different than the others, we look to you now. We look to you now as the one who restores our souls. As we dwell in your presence right now, we look to you as the one who restores us. We look to you and to the one, your Son Jesus, who said, "Come to me. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." This is what we want. And this is what we need, Lord. We need rest. Not just sleep. Right? We need rest. We need to dwell in your presence as you are dwelling with us. We need to rest in your presence. So today, Lord, we submit to you and we receive your Sabbath rest. It's in Jesus' name that we pray these things. Amen. To respond to God's word this morning, we have an opportunity to dwell. We have an opportunity to rest in His presence. We have an opportunity to remember and believe who our God is, right, and what He has done, and what He is doing in our midst. We're going to respond by celebrating communion, by remembering and believe that Jesus came and that He died, and He was raised to new life so that we might live, so that we might be freed, so that we might find rest for our souls. The night He was betrayed, Jesus, He took bread and He broke it and He said, "This is my body which is given for you, given so that you can have the complete forgiveness of all your sins, all that guilt, all that striving, all that trying to become better." Took care of it. Says, "Take, eat, and as you do, remember and believe. Remember and believe who I am and what I've done." Then He took the cup and He said, This is my blood, the blood of the new covenant. This is my blood which has been poured out for you. It says, "Take, drink, and as you do, remember and believe. My blood was shed so that you might find rest. Rest for your soul." God invites us into His rhythm. God invites us into His creative rhythm. He invites us to dwell. Worship team is going to be playing a new song. And as they do, I invite you to dwell in His presence. To allow the words of the song to sink into your heart and soul. And then when you're ready, to come forward. Pastor Amy and I are going to be over here. Gordon and Brian are going to be over here. And when you're ready, come. Take some bread and then take some juice. Then go someplace and dwell. Just take a little time. We have time this morning. Take some time to dwell in His presence and to remember that He's in charge. That He's in control. Find somewhere in the space, maybe back in your chair, someplace in the room, but dwell in His presence. Come when you're ready.